has been good songs and our scripture reading, all very, very good and apply to our passage this morning. So turn to 1 John. 1 John in your Bibles. Last week we were introduced to this letter written by the Apostle John. We also went through his introduction to his letter. It is a letter written to believers. It is a letter in which on several occasions John explains his purpose in writing. Probably the theme verse would be 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay, again, he says he's writing to believers. I'm writing to those who have believed in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may have full assurance and confidence in that which you've believed and that you would just continue in it. In John's introduction that we went through last week, he explained that he was a first-hand witness of this message that has not changed, this message that is a person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard the message from the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He literally handled the Lord Jesus Christ. He was Jesus, the Son of God, was real and present before and after his death and resurrection. And this message is that eternal life does come through the Son of God, and that message has not changed. Then John went on in his introduction to say that this message has been declared to you, and because of this message, you can have fellowship with God the Father, with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the others, other people, men and women and children who believe, have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So this was about fellowship. And then he said, and these things we write to you in verse 4, that your joy may be full. The gospel, the end result of the gospel is fellowship. Fellowship with Almighty God. And in our Sunday school lesson, we were just talking about the amazing power and authority and incomprehensible glory of God in creation in Genesis chapter 1. And John is telling us that the gospel is so that you can have fellowship with that God. You can be in communion with all that glorious God. You can have things in common and be joined in friendship and fellowship with God. That is an amazing thing. And just like creation, I find it somewhat incomprehensible. It for sure undeserved. It is amazing that we can have fellowship with God. And it goes without saying that then there would be a fellowship with those. If you have fellowship with God, you have fellowship with those who have fellowship with God. The friends of your friends tend to be your friends, hopefully. That's the way it's supposed to work, all right? And that's the way it works with God. In fact, you see on several times Jesus says, what you do to those who have fellowship with me, you're doing to me. It's the same thing. That's how close the fellowship is. So it's an amazing thing, and this leads to full joy. It makes sense that someone created in the image of God would be at full joy when they are in fellowship with the God in whose image they are made. That's logical, right? That makes sense. It also makes sense that there's probably not much joy when you're not in fellowship with the God in whose image you are created. And so in this first few verses, John states his purpose a little differently. I write these things to you that your joy may be full. Full joy. Now imagine a person who has believed in that gospel, that message, which hasn't changed from the beginning. They have believed in Jesus as the Son of God. They have believed in him as their Savior, the one who came for them, who paid for their sins on the cross. They have eternal life. They are a part of the family of God, but they don't feel in fellowship with God. They don't seem to have this joy that John is saying, I want you to have full joy. What a terrible place to be. And my guess is that we all know about that place because we've probably all been there a time or three. We understand it. We know what it's like to know you're saved and yet I'm not feeling it. I don't feel in fellowship with God. I am not I do not understand what this full joy is because whatever it is, it's not what I'm feeling right now. We know what that is, right? And John continues that discussion about fellowship and joy in the verses we're going through this morning and in next week as well. But for the sake of time, we're only going to go through a few at a time. So we're just going through three verses this morning. Let me start with verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I think John's talking about Jesus there when he says, this is the message we have heard from him. All right? He's, again, we don't have all of Jesus' words recorded. We have what God decided we need to know about what Jesus said. We don't have everything. But John is saying, we've heard this from the beginning from Jesus. This is the message we've heard from him, and we declare it to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He begins with a statement, a very absolute statement. You know, right? When we're taught about speaking, the general rule is don't say always and don't say never because the odds are you're going to be wrong. Well, this is an always never statement about God, and it's a truth that has been from the beginning. I think it's a truth you understand that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so John begins with this statement and then he draws conclusions. Because that is true, then if this happens, then this is also true. And if this happens, then this is also true. So that's where we're going in our outline. So first, the truth. God is light. And God is perfect light. Okay? There is no darkness at all. There's not even a shadow. There's no darkness at all. So first we start, what is this? What is this light? And by the way, it doesn't say he is a light. It says he is light. So what is this light? And you can see in your outline, I have what is meant by light, and then I have what is meant by darkness. I don't have any points under darkness because we're going to answer both those questions in the points under light. All right? That'll be obvious to you that when we define light and dark, we'll be defining light and darkness both. So what is this light? It said God is light. Well, first of all, we are well aware of physical light. All right? Photons. Light exists apart from the light source. The light source starts the light, but then it's its own wavelength, and it keeps going until it bounces off things and fades away or gets absorbed, all right? So light is a thing in and of itself, and it says God is light. Is it talking about that? Is he a physical light, or is he a source of physical light? Well, we know he is. I hope you'd say yes to that. He is physical light. Revelation 21:23 says that the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So God in his glory does give off real photons, physical light. You see the glory of God. Now, that's not what it's talking about in this passage, though. All right? Or that would be a very small portion of what it's talking about in this light. So that is true, that God is light, but What are we talking about in this passage? I think the next two points apply. Truth. First of all, when we talk about light, we talk about something that is true, that is revealed. Hey, here's something that you need to understand, right? We use the picture of the light bulb going on, you know, when you finally, this probably applies to me maybe more than some of you, but when you finally get the joke, the light bulb goes on, understanding, the light goes on. There's a light bulb of understanding, of truth, of what is real, what is true. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, mention that kind of light. And it says this, "But even if our gospel is veiled," so he's talking about the truths of the gospel being hidden, being veiled, "it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." All right? And there it's talking about the light of the gospel. This gospel is hidden. They don't see it. They don't perceive it because the God of this age has blinded their minds because he doesn't want them to see the truth and then believe in the truth. All right? And so we see that light used in that aspect as far as the light of the gospel. And is God truth? Well, absolutely. This is directly related to and part of the answer, but it's not the complete answer, is truth. Because there's another, and you can see it in your outline, there's another word that relates to light, and that is righteousness. Let's turn, I would invite you to turn to this passage, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read a significant portion of this passage, the first 14 verses. And the Apostle Paul is giving instruction to believers. And he says what? "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." Over and over in the scriptures, he tells those who follow Christ, act like Christ. Do the same things he did. He gives us an example. Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints or holy ones. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." By the way, this goes along with our passage very well. He says, be like Jesus. Don't do these things, because these are the very things that condemned you and puts you under the wrath of God. These are the very things Jesus had to come and pay for on the cross. Don't do those. It's not appropriate for someone who is supposed to be like Jesus, who has been saved from these things. Live in the position you are, which is you're a child of God. You're made right. Your standing is righteous. Don't do these things. So don't be partakers of these things. Rather, be like Christ. Verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Do you see the connection there? The truth, the light of the truth, leads to living according to that truth. And that's why I said both of those go together. Truth and righteous living work together. You know the truth, you live according to the truth. That is walking in light, or if you don't, if you walk in those sins you were saved out of, you're walking in darkness. All right? It says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. If you're living and walking according to God, you're going to have the same characters, traits, the same description as he does. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And you see, there's two things. There's truth, there's light. This is the reveal, this is what's real. This is what's really real. This is truth. And then you walk according to that. You're walking in the light that is revealed to you. You're walking according to the light, okay? So you see how truth and actions work together in light. You were once in darkness and you walked like someone in darkness. Now you are in light. Walk as children of light. That's verse 8. Darkness has activities or works. Light has activities and works. So it's not just truth, but the activities that reflect that truth. And the truth is that there is righteousness, there are right acts and activities, and there is wickedness or sin, there are evil works, there is right and there is wrong. And the response to that truth, to that light, is to walk, do the activities that reflect the truth of that light. And Satan, and we're aware of this, Satan is ever in the activity of trying to change what the truth is and trying to make you think you're walking in the light and redefine what is right and what is wrong. And this is why you always have to get your light from the Word of God. That is the only reliable source. And if you go away from that, then you're going to get very confused as far as what is light and what is dark. Because God's the one who defines and explains what walking in the light is. Incidentally, Jesus is, again, just like God, is all these versions of light. The Lamb is its light. I already read in Revelation 22, it's the glory of God, and the Lamb is its light. He is the light of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've sung songs where he is the light of the world. And then in our own passage, 1 John 3:5, it says this, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. Jesus is not only light in truth, there are no acts of darkness that he has ever participated or been involved in any way. In him there is no sin. And so this is the truth we've started off with. There is no evil or sin in God that is done by God that can be credited to God. There is no sin at all. Not one iota, not one smidgen, not a percentage, not a decimal point of a percentage. There is none. Zero. God is the absolute zero of darkness. And I'm thinking of temperature there, you know, absolute zero where nothing is moving anymore at all. I think it's zero Kelvin, is that right? Anyway, absolute zero. There is none. It's not possible. It's not present in any form. Do you understand then the offense of crediting or accusing God of evil? That would not be walking in the light. That would not be walking in the truth. that would be a work of walking in darkness, of not knowing the truth, accusing God of evil. So there is no evil or sin in God, done by God, that can be credited to God in any possible way. Not at all like me. Not at all like any of us. But remember, I mentioned last time, one of my favorite phrases is pretty good. All right? Pretty good does not describe God's righteousness. He's pretty righteous. You know, I'm happy with smidgens and shadows and little pieces of darkness, and I still like to think I'm pretty good. But he is giving you a point here. If what you're imitating, remember Ephesians, imitate the Lord Jesus Christ as dear children. What we are imitating is perfection. And that's the standard we're trying to attain to. And so that is Jesus, that is God. He is not pretty good. And so that is the truth. Now, how do we respond to that truth? Verses 6 and 7. Let me get back to 1 John and read those. If we say we have fellowship with him, okay, so he's talking about us. We're going to mention a truth. If you say you have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All right. Now remember, I said this in the introduction, this is written to believers. In fact, John even is saying we. If we say this, but we are doing this, all right, so we're talking about believers here. So if this is applying to us and to, Lord, I hope to you, because I hope you're the ones who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Many, I know most of your testimony to that effect. So this is not talking about your permanent standing with God that occurs at salvation. Because he's writing to believers. We've got to remember this as we're talking about sin and fellowship. We're not talking about the permanent righteous standing of those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:22 says, that righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. That's your standing. That puts you into the family of God. That makes you a child of God. That makes you alive when you were dead before. And now you're alive to God. That means fellowship is possible because your standing is one of one that is righteous. In fact, those are the arguments throughout the scripture. He says, if your standing is one of perfect righteousness, why don't you act like it? All right. If you're in the family of God, live in a way that brings honor to your family, to your father. All right. So this passage is not talking about that standing. This is talking about your fellowship and your family standing with God, your interactive relationship with God as his child. When you are born, or if you were adopted into a family, your actions don't stop you from being a part of the family, but it might not be very fun. It might not be very joyful. You may not be in fellowship, in communion, on the same page with your family. Does that make sense? That's what John is writing about here. All right? And so he's writing to those of you who believe in the Son of God. You are the children of God. Now, if you haven't done that, what I don't want you to confuse is if you've never done that, and so then I'm not talking to you. You have a first thing. You need to get your record, your standing before God cleared up by believing in the gospel. That making a personal decision to trust what Jesus did on the cross for your sins can take your place and save you. That you're placing your faith in him. That's the first step. But there are believers, and we at times, and many who walk in this manner all the time who are believers, but are missing out on the joy and the fellowship of walking with the Lord. And so, he's talking to us believers, and he says, if you say you have fellowship with him, or John says, if we say, we could also say when we say we have fellowship with him, and we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Over and over in the scriptures, God gives descriptions of what walking in darkness looks like. I've just read one of them, and we'll read another one here in a little bit. If you, as a child of God, are walking in darkness, he's saying, don't say you're in fellowship with God. Because those two things don't go together. You have a problem. And remember, John said, I'm writing this so your joy can be full, because that's not a place of joy either. Again, we all understand. From experience, we understand this. They're walking in darkness. They're actively participating and doing those works which God in his righteousness condemns. And don't we see so many? That's the big debate nowadays. I can be a Christian and, yeah, you can, but you're not in fellowship with God, and you're not going to have that full, packed, full joy that John's writing about. So, yeah, okay, if you want to say a technicality, yeah. You can also get into more technicalities, like whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But you can't redefine what the light is to fit your own needs. God defines what the light is. And today it's very popular to say, I can be a Christian and walk in darkness. And John says, no, you can't. It's a horrible place to be. You're a liar. Don't claim you have, or at least don't claim you have fellowship with God and you're walking in that. Because that is the implication. I can do this and be a Christian and be okay. That's the implication. I can walk in fellowship with God and participate in this, X, Y, or Z. I can live with my boyfriend. I can be I can have a homosexual relationship. I can lie. I can fill in the blank. God over and over says what righteous works are, what works of the light are, and what works of the darkness are. And so you can't, John is saying, you can't do that. You can't say, I can do this work of darkness by just redefining it as light, and I can be in fellowship with God. He says, no, you aren't. And no, you can't. He says, you lie. What you say is not tied to what is true. What you say is not real. It's not tied to reality. Because the reality is you're not in fellowship with the Lord. You are not practicing the truth. You're practicing darkness. And you do not have fellowship. And here's the principle. You cannot knowingly, and I honestly don't think John is talking about a new believer who just doesn't know some of the things they're doing. You know, they haven't grown. John is worrying about unknown sins right here. Things you're just not even aware. He's talking about you can't knowingly walk in darkness and then say you have fellowship with God. You can't lie in that way. You don't. You're not practicing the truth. You do not have fellowship. You do not have joy. Now let's look at that passage that says this again in a similar way. It's Galatians. I refer to this passage all the time, so maybe you're tired of going to Galatians 5 and verse 16, because the Apostle Paul writes about this in a different manner. He says in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You could say, according to John, walk in the light, walking in the Spirit, or according to the Spirit of God, because this, I guarantee you, the Spirit of God is always walking in the light, right? We know that about God. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking according to the Spirit of God, you're not going to walk in darkness. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are... All right, so you see the parallel here. You've got the works of the flesh walking in darkness. Works of darkness. You've got walking in the Spirit, which is walking in the light. Walking according to the truth and doing the righteous works. What are the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? Jesus died to save sinners from those very works. He was punished for those works that we have done. Everything in that list. And it's not a exhaustive list. There's more sins. We see other lists like that. Contrast that to walking in the light. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Remember John said, he wants your joy to be full. Why? How does that happen? By walking in the light. By being in fellowship with God. By walking walking according to the Spirit. So his fruit is born out in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. By the way, Paul is saying it's possible to live in the Spirit, to be indwelled by the Spirit of God, but not walk according to him. Okay, he's saying the same thing as John is saying. It's possible to do that, but it's a contradiction. You were saved from that. What are you doing wallowing back in the mud? Doesn't make sense. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, so you see another example of the same principle. And notice how many of those works of darkness and then the fruit of the Spirit deal with relationships and fellowship and are directly related to that. That's what John is saying. It's the same message said in a different way. Walk in the light, and the unfortunate truth of this, which I can testify from my own life, is that it is not an uncommon thing for believers to do, to not walk in the Spirit or to walk in darkness. Meanwhile, we put on the facade. Look, I'm a pastor, man. I've got to keep, you know, I can't let you know if I'm walking in the right. I've got to hide that. And so you can pretend. We can pretend to one another we're walking in the light. We have fellowship with God, and God's saying, but if you've got sin that you're not dealing with, you're walking in darkness, you're lying to yourself, and you're lying to everybody else. And you're not going to have joy, and your relationship isn't what it's supposed to be. This is too common. And if and when this describes us, we know all these things I'm talking about, right? Maybe you walk in the light better than I do, but I know what this is talking about. Where's the joy? David, when he was repenting of his sin, he said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, the joy of my sins forgiven, being in fellowship with God," and the active feel. He wasn't saying, "Save me again." He was saying, "Restore to me what's supposed to be here between us." And unfortunately, this describes us. And he's saying, John is saying, this is my whole counseling method. Stop it. Don't do this. Don't say this. It's not true. It's not true. Look at that last phrase there, because I want to end here. And then next time, we're going to go into this in more detail. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. By the way, I think he's talking about us and God in that passage, although it would be true with one another as well, as those who are children of God. But I think he's talking about with, because, let's see, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, God, and don't walk in the, and he's going back to that. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, us and God, me and God. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at how it starts, our passage today. It starts with God in whom there is God who is light and there is no darkness at all. And it ends with us being cleansed from all sin so that there is no darkness in us either. Because that's what's required for fellowship. And yes, it refers to the gospel, but it's referring to what he's going to come up to here in 1 John 1:9. Because he's going to say, I'm ruining a little bit next week. If we say we have no sin in verse 8, we deceive ourselves. He's saying, I'm not saying that you don't have sin. But if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's already referring to and talking about in verse 7. But Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, cleanses us from all sin. Even in our relationship, when we go to God, we still have the same advocate before his throne saying, I paid for it. I already took their place. I already paid for it. And that's the wonderful truth. And so I don't want to leave you here saying, you're walking in darkness, you're lying to yourself, and boom, that's it, because that's where our verses end. I got to point a little bit ahead. There is a remedy for walking in darkness, for claiming you have fellowship with God, but you're walking in darkness. He's going to get to that. And so if this is you, if this describes you, you're the joy is gone. I'm not in fellowship with God. There are things I'm hanging on to. There are things that I know of and I'm refusing to take care of. There are things I'm harboring. There is a solution. I don't want to leave you without that solution. And that is to confess your sins, because he will be faithful and just to forgive yourselves. But the point is, first, stop lying to yourself. Don't ignore the sin. Look ahead to that solution, because that's where fullness of joy is. It's in fellowship with your Father. It's in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're hurting ourselves. We're not in fellowship with each other because we're playing the game. And so we get this wonderful challenge. John is saying, hey, let's stop the lying. Let's have real fellowship, because this is where full joy is. I'm writing so you know. And guess what? Guess what goes away when you're in full fellowship with God and you have the fullness of joy? You probably don't doubt your salvation. You probably aren't raising questions. Oh, look what I'm doing. Am I really saved? Huh, imagine that. John's purpose in 5:13. So I encourage you. Speak truth to yourself according to this passage. Take care of these things, and we're going to continue this next week. Father, we thank you again for this encouragement and challenge that we have from your word. It's just a wonderful truth to begin with, that you created mankind. You created us in your image. What a wonderful position. What an incredible blessing that we would be created in your image. But then after we would sin and turn from you to darkness, that you would redeem us, that you, your own Son, would come in the flesh as a man to be punished for the sins of man, and then be raised again in victory after he had died and been buried. Then we have the wonder of being created in your image, and then we have the wonder of redemption, of being restored to that image. And then, Lord, even after that, when we falter, we still have our advocate. We still have that you are still faithful and just. And rather than pretending, rather than lying and pretending we have fellowship with you when we sin, we can go straight to you and confess our sins and be restored to that joyful fellowship. Help us to see the truth, to see the light, and help us to walk in it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.